morning, good evening, and good night. Wherever you are in the world today, my name is Carol Martindale. I'm the editor-in-chief here at The Nation, and we are On Point. Today, for many, it seems as if this country is not getting a break. COVID, lockdowns, curfews. We had the ash fall from the La Soufre volcano eruption in St. Vincent. And we just had the passing of Hurricane Elsa on July 2nd. And we thought 2020 was bad, but enter 2021 and all these things are happening. With the passing of Elsa, I found myself asking, what if Hurricane Elsa had done more damage in Barbados? Could we have sustained more damage? It was a Hurricane 1, Category 1 hurricane, rather. And so much damage. So many people lost their homes. We saw actually from our nation photographers, houses falling like a pack of cards. People had to flee the only place that they know, their safe haven, which really was no longer safe. We saw trees being uprooted, galvanized palings falling, roofs coming off people's homes, leaving them so exposed to the elements. I'm sure all our hearts went out to those who had to endure and suffer the damage. But I, again, wonder, what if Hurricane Elsa was a stronger hurricane? What would have happened? I'm still curious as well to find out the loss. Have we been able to quantify the loss? Has government been able to do that? Because so many people are still picking up the pieces. And I have no doubt that the numbers, the losses, the value of homes lost and properties lost, the value is still being calculated. But I still find myself asking the question, how much have we lost? How much have people lost? We need to hear some numbers. The one good thing that came out of Elsa for me, though, was seeing the community spirit and the sense of neighborly love and assistance that was rendered to those who needed help the most. The stories kept rolling in and rolling in of those who stopped to help other people because the damage they sustained was not as dire as the damage that others in their neighborhood had experienced. That warmed my heart. I felt there was this sense of community that had been rekindled. Something that we all talk about that's been lost, but we saw it with Elsa. And for that, I want to commend everybody who took time to help others, to look out for each other, especially those who are the elderly in our districts, those who were the most vulnerable. That spoke volumes. And it is something that we need to continue with, not just in a disaster or an emergency situation, but that neighborly love we need to replicate over and over and have that resonate across all communities at all times. We need it now more than ever, especially in these trying times. So I say thanks to all who helped.
Want to sell your property or vehicle fast? You can double your chances with Nation Classifieds. Book one-worded advertisements for 1 week or 14 days and double it for free. Both packages include one free photo and free promotion on our websites for 30 days. Nation Classifieds. Double your chances with double the audience and double the value in print, online, and on social media. Call 430-5522 and double the value with Nation Classifieds.
I want to quickly turn this podcast to the issue we are now facing of a curfew. Barbados went back on curfew yesterday for 2 weeks, 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. And we got news of that last weekend when the Minister of Health announced that we will be back on curfew from July 13th. No social gatherings like fetes for the next 2 weeks, churches, cinemas, other indoor events restricted to 100 people, funerals as well, weddings capped at 100, summer camps delayed for 2 weeks. I've already heard parents lamenting and bemoaning this because they obviously would have been looking to summer camps to help, you know, ease their burden as well and help out situations where, you know, students, the young people and students, they've been through a trying and testing time as well. And parents who would have had to be homeschooling their children for most of the year. So this was a setback for many of them. Full contact sports on hold for 2 weeks. No spectators allowed at sporting events. Dance studios and clubs will be on pause. Public service vehicles will operate at 75% seating capacity. No one will be allowed to be standing in the vehicles. And where possible, it says employees should be allowed to work from home as well. So these are the new restrictions to take us over the next 2 weeks. And this really was prompted because of the spike in cases. One day last weekend, we saw 40 cases. And since then, we know the source of these cases. And since then, we've been having 10 cases one day. I think it was 10 another day as well. And my concern is not so much the curfew. My concern is that we as a people are dropping our guard. I've spoken about this. I've written about this time and time again. And I get it. It happens to the best of us. It has happened to me where we drop our guard. We are tired. We're tired of COVID. We've been battling COVID with the rest of the world since last March for Barbados specifically. So we are tired. We're tired being cooped up. We want to be out. There's no crop over. There really will be no fets as well. And we just want to go back to living life as we know it, particularly when there's so much doom and gloom around us. So I get it, but we can't drop our guards. We cannot. To do so will spell disaster, not just for us as individuals and those around us, but for the country. I feel especially at this time for those who work in places like restaurants. We wrote about it today in our daily, in our Midweek Nation. If the curfew is at 11, it means that restaurants have to bring up their dining times. More or less have early dining, perhaps even taking a last seating at 8 o'clock, because you have to break down the tables after your guests leave. You also have to make sure as a responsible employer that you get your employees home by 11 o'clock. That means leaving the restaurants at least by 10. And that's if, you know, you live close by. If you live in a parish that is very far from your work, you at least need an hour and a half, especially if you are commuting by bus and not in your car. I don't want to see our country move towards another lockdown. I don't think we can afford it. I've read comments from restaurants managers saying that it could spell the death knell of a lot of restaurants if we ever move back to a lockdown. We all have a part to play. As I said, I get COVID fatigue. I suffer with it too, or from it. I thought I would go on the World Health Organization site to get a sense of really what or how they define pandemic fatigue. And here's what they said. Pandemic fatigue is understood as demotivation to follow recommended protective behaviors, emerging gradually over time. And it will spark a number of emotions, experiences, and perceptions. The pandemic fatigue reported from countries is expressed through an increasing number of people not sufficiently following recommendations and restrictions, decreasing their effort to keep themselves informed about the pandemic, and having lower risk perceptions related to COVID-19. So previously effective core messages regarding washing hands, wearing face masks, and practicing proper hygiene etiquette and physical distancing, may seem less effective. And many countries have identified a need for reinvigorating approaches. I want to table that this is where we are as a country in Barbados. But I go on. Such demotivation is natural and expected at this stage of a crisis. At the beginning of a crisis, most people are able to tap into their surge capacity, a collection of mental and physical adaptive systems that humans draw on for short-term survival in acutely stressful situations. However, when dire circumstances drag on, they have to adopt a different style of coping, and fatigue and demotivation may be the result. Again, I suggest that this is where we are as a country. Let me read one more paragraph. Several components related to individual motivation have been strongly impacted by the longevity of the pandemic situation. First, the perceived threat of the virus may decrease as people become used to its existence, even if the data show that the risk may in fact be increasing. At the same time, the perceived resulting loss from the pandemic response, meaning lockdowns and restrictions, is likely to increase over time as people experience the long-term personal, social, and potentially economic consequence of restrictions. This is where I think we are as a country. We are indeed suffering, many of us, from COVID fatigue, or as they said, the pandemic fatigue. But I want to caution each and every one of you, and I put myself in the midst, we can't afford to drop our guard. This is not the time for us to get careless, to get reckless, to be irresponsible. Yes, there has been a spike in cases. I read today, interestingly enough, that the chief medical officer, Dr. Kenneth George, said that at this point, without all the proper monitoring, he cannot say this is a third wave. But we don't need to hear of a third wave. We need to know that there is a spike in cases, and we all need to know, and we do know, exactly what we have to do, and we need to do it. We need to make sure we mask up. We need to sanitize. We need to physical distance. We need to go back to the basics of the things we were taught, the things we were told last year when the pandemic had first started. We can't afford to get into another lockdown situation or to have authorities and officials even contemplating it. We do not want that for our country. We've been through too much as a country for the year so far. So I am appealing to everyone. Let us do what we need to do to keep ourselves safe, to keep those around us safe, to keep our neighbors safe, to keep our colleagues in our workplaces safe. And on a macro level, let us do all we can to keep our country safe. This is Carol Martindale, and we have been On Point.